take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 1. So we're learning this month, we use the verse Acts 3:19, times of refreshing. And we used that phrase and we learned the first time to doctrinally study it. And that's what this is. And I just left it up here because it's simple. But as far as understanding, Acts 3:19 is talking about it'll be refreshing when Jesus comes, because he's going to refresh and give restitution to the land. Israel gets saved in one day, and then regeneration. He regenerates the soil. Right now, he's regenerating souls and borning them again. Then last week, we looked at devotionally, what does refreshment mean? Once you get out of the doctrinal side, what is that passage talking to? Who is it talking to? Then what is refreshing in the Bible? Refreshment that comes from the Lord. Well, there's some wonderful topics like that. For instance, we looked at getting forgiven for your sins. It should be refreshing when you get saved, right? So getting your sins paid for, finding out that you've been washed in the blood by trusting Jesus, that's refreshing. Well, this week we want to look at the idea of thankfulness is refreshing. As a matter of fact, if you'll keep your finger there, we're going to come right here to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you. Go to, turn over a couple of books, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. New Testament. I'll be taking you to quite a few places this morning. Once again, could you do this if you took a concordance and looked up thankfulness and in your Bible and find out where it's mentioned and pull some truths like we're going to? I'll upgrade it this morning a little bit for you. But watch this. When we talk about refreshing, thanksgiving, it's wonderful to be around people that are thankful. Because here's what you learn in life. You either complain and you're content, or you're thankful. You either complain and you're covetousness, or you're thankful and content. And what you learn, because we're sinners, right? Born that way, because we're sinners, our tendency is to complain. So watch this. It's refreshing to be around people who don't allow themselves, who watch their mouth. I guess I'll say that. They care how what they say affects other people, right? It's not, you've heard of people, well, I just say what's on my mind. And you don't have to guess when you're around me. Well, sort of, but do keep in mind, Proverbs says a fool speaks all his heart. So there are things, inside voices, outside voices, right? There are things, a wise person says, how will what I say affect those who are around me? What type of a taste do I leave in people's mouth when I leave? So I'm not for ignoring problems, but here we go. When it comes to mentioning problems, are the problems being mentioned to those that can solve them? If they can't solve the problem, why are you bringing it to them? Okay? If we all are dealing in a new America where we're watching insanity at a new level and things we cannot change, then maybe you're not supposed to complain about it as much as you're supposed to ask God to help you deal with it in patience. Interesting thought, right? Because this week in America, there's all types of groups of people sitting around talking about America and its violence and crimes going through the roof. Immigration, we got all types of problems. The new I think it's goofy. So I don't think it's funny. I think it's goofy. But the new Iranian war, you know, that's probably going to, it might be a trigger to World War III. All of this stuff that none of us have any power over. There's people that will sit and talk about that for hours and they will complain. But they won't get up and go to church. And they don't realize that they are just as much the problem as the people they're complaining about. Okay? You say, whoa, did that take a turn? Refreshment comes from being around people that control their mouth. And let me show you an example. Look at just Philippians 1:3. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's refreshing. I'm thankful for sisters and brothers and people who've trusted Christ and people who have God's viewpoint. Now, everybody that reads the Bible doesn't read it the same. I get it. I understand that. But somebody that's saved, I can rejoice with. And I love the verse that says, I thank my God every time I think about you. You bring sweet memories to me because of who you are in the Lord. Right? So thankfulness, working to be a refreshing person. There are people you can get around. All they do is complain. And when you leave their presence, you just want to spit. You know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, there's no answer to anything. It's a constant complaint. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, every time I think about you. Now, if you go to, here we go. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Let's pursue a thought here. While you're going to Romans chapter 1, five times in the book of Colossians, we're told to be thankful. That's one book, one of the 27 in the New Testament. Five times we're told to be thankful. Let me just read you a few of the verses. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians, and I'm not going to read all, but here we go. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It's the word thanksgiving is in the New Testament over 70 times. 70 times in 27 books, you get the impression we're commanded to be thankful. Okay? And I will say this, what you're going to learn this morning, if you're thankful, it's because you work at it. Because nobody is naturally thankful. All of us complain naturally. We whine. We gripe. That all comes natural. That's all with my sin nature. But if I'm going to be a thankful person and somebody that is refreshing to others, I have to work at doing what does not, letting Jesus use my mouth. Amen. I've got to let Jesus use me because that doesn't happen normally. So just a glimpse of that. Look at Romans chapter 1. Ready? Watch this. Now, real quick overview. Okay. What does Romans do? By the time you get to Romans 3, it gives you one of the most beautiful statements of having faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. But before he gets there, Romans chapter 1 is going to tell you why people don't get saved. Romans chapter 2 is going to explain they have a conscience. And then Romans chapter 3 is going to tell you everybody, unless God works in their heart, fights God. So, in Romans 1, you're reminded of a great truth here, but watch this. Here we go. Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, you know what, we could start at verse 18 just to precurse this, but watch this, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What would that be? That would be creation, right? The heavens declare the glory of God, right? So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Interesting statement. It's beautiful how God puts this in your King James Bible. They hold the truth. They have a hold of what's true, but they continue in unrighteousness. So they know what's right. They know what the Bible says, but they're still going to do what they want to do. Right? Keep on going. Look at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. What a statement. God shows people, right? Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that tells me on Judgment Day, there is no St. Peter standing at a gate asking why he should let you in, all that stupid Catholic stuff. There, on Judgment Day, all right, nobody standing before God will say, it's your fault, I'm going to hell. Every person before they're cast into the lake of fire will know it is their fault without excuse. God showed them who he was in creation, two C words, and their conscience. Right? That's why, one thought, if you don't poison people, every child will grow up and acknowledge God. But the public school system teaches evolution, which does what? There is no God. You come from animals. Therefore, they act like animals. Right? So, creation is denied. Then their conscience is defiled with all the filth that I'm talking in society. You say, what are you getting at? If you don't teach someone poison, their conscience will acknowledge God. But in a society where evolution is taught, people are taught, atheists are taught, well, I don't believe in God, and there is no God. You were taught that. You didn't come to that conclusion naturally. You watched something on the internet, you read something, but you didn't sit down, you didn't go outside and look at creation and go, you know, there is no God. Somebody poisoned you. Which is interesting. What then leads a society against God? He's going to say that here, and nobody cast into hell is going to... God is fair. Who is unfair? We are. We're the ones that don't give the gospel. We're the ones that don't witness like we should. They will be able to point fingers at people. You didn't tell me, you didn't tell me, you didn't tell me, you didn't tell... But they won't be able to point their finger at God. They will be without excuse. Now that you kind of get the foundation of it, look at verse 21. Watch it carefully. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So the word because means, it's a conjunction that means over and over and over and over and over again. When they knew God, isn't that interesting? Remember, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know God. They know who God is. But what causes this? And you'll know Romans chapter 1 is one of the most hated chapters in the Bible by the liberals. They hate it. But God says, when man rejects God, God rejects men. And that's when the word reprobate comes into play. Okay? Well, Romans chapter 1 is the stair step that leads to reprobation. Right? What starts this whole downward mess of society? What starts it? Verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Thankfulness is so important. It's refreshing because it's something you want in your home, but it's only there when you make it in your home. Okay? When you care enough, I care about the atmosphere in our home. I care about what's talked about in our home. And look, your home should be a refuge. It should not be a place where when you go to, it pulls you down. Then get the things out of there that are pulling you down. Thankfulness is something that is worked for. Being thankful, I have to make myself do it. And then God says here, so much in this verse, when they knew God, they glorified him or praised him not as God, neither were thankful. The word glorified and thankful are very similar there. Let me read it this way. When you thank God, you glorify Him. When you thank God for the air you breathe and your life and your body and your house and your car and look what God's given me, you're glorifying God, saying it's because of you I have all of this. So God says when you thank Him, we're glorifying Him. Now let me show you how important this is. And there's reason. Does everybody understand Romans chapter 1 leads to, well, look at the last verse. Look at how it ends. It says here, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and only not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All the stupid riots and the parades we see where people are in there shaking their fist at God and they're having pleasure in what, here we go, what they know is wrong. They have pleasure. They know what they're doing deserves death. But they have pleasure in them. That's a reprobate. That's a reprobate. Well, here's the stair step. It starts with when you know God, you aren't careful to maintain thankfulness. If I don't keep myself in check, I have enough to destroy me. I can destroy my own life. It's just like you heard me give the illustration. Every motor without a governor on the carburetor can rev itself up so high that it explodes. Every person has the potential to destroy themselves. God gives you governors or things that we're supposed to work at so we don't self-destruct. One of them would be thankfulness. Okay? Go to Psalm chapter 50. Look at Psalm chapter 50. This morning we're looking, I know I'm mentioning to you a lot, but as far as we're looking at thankfulness, and in a dark world, instead of griping about the things I can't change, I'm disturbed about it like everybody is, then maybe God is trying to get me to trust Him, right, for His protection and patience through it all, instead of doing things that won't help me. If I talk about, Cody and I were talking about this week, Iran and then Israel and all of that stuff. I think there's a lot more going on over there than they're letting out. That's why it's so sealed. Okay. Yeah, you'll find out about the missiles. I think there's other things that are happening, but I think it's good to talk about it, and I like hearing, he's a military person, I like hearing what he gets access to, amen? Mm-hmm. Not that he has total access, but I wouldn't mind, but am I worried about what's going on in Iran? No. Yes, my opinion of the whole thing, I think it's so goofy. We tell Hamas in Gaza not to hit Israel, but we give them $100 million a year in oil, and then we fund Hezbollah in the north, and we tell them to let Israel. How do you, I don't know, if you give my enemies money, I don't think you're my friend. It's goofy. It's a whacked out. I think it's weird. Okay, here we go. I can talk about things I can't change, or I could work at thanking God for what He's done in my life and maintaining my spirit. Amen? And helping my home. Watch this. Look at Psalm. Watch how important this is. Look at Psalm 50. And here we go. Psalm 50, let's just look at one verse. Verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So when you praise God, when you thank God, you are glorifying God. Okay, so that's not supposed to be a spooky word. Ready? Watch this. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Okay. There's two phrases there that God wants you to think about. glorifying Him, and God showing you His salvation. I'm going to make a strong statement in reference to Romans 1. We're in Old and New Testament. When people aren't thankful to God, they can't be saved. Doesn't it take a humility to be saved? Right? Admitting what I am. I'm a sinner on my way to hell. And then what does thankfulness automatically places you under who you're thanking? Right? I'm not the source of it all. Glory to God. I can breathe this morning. I can see. I'm automatic. There's a humility in thankfulness. And that's why in our society, the more people complain, I mean, it's amazing. People will come here, and then we give them money, and then they protest against what they don't have. There's never been a time in America where anybody has had what we have right now. There's never been a time in world history where anybody has what we have. Does anybody in America truly have nothing? And if somebody finds out you have nothing, they will run to you to give you something. Our government will. In other words, the more our society is pushed at not being thankful and give me this and I don't have that. It's amazing take the feminist movement, okay? You know, women don't have higher paying jobs and this. Go to any other country and do that. They'll get shot. Here, go here. You think America's so? What are they wanting? You think America's so bad? Here, go down to Mexico and complain what you don't have. Cross their border illegally, they'll shoot you. Amen. I'm just saying, what is it that you're? We just want more. That's here we go. Ready? Satisfaction does not come from you getting stuff and gifts. It comes from thankfulness. That's what satisfaction comes from. That's how come, you know, every year. Have you ever wondered what would happen if at Christmas time? We're doing pastor thoughts now, okay? What would happen if we skipped Christmas 1 year and just said, why don't we all just be thankful for what we got last year? Wouldn't that be good? Nobody get any more stuff. Let's just praise God for what we got. But every year, everybody says, well, we're happy. But you understand, you're not happy, and society is not maintained by what's given to them. When it's a gimme, gimme, I don't have, I want more, I want this, you can't be satisfied. And God says, here's the danger of thankfulness. When you move a society like we're watching our society move, all the social media does is feed self. What do you think of me? Put your comments below, right? You've heard me say that before. When did ever your comment ever matter? You ever heard your dad say, if I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you? It shouldn't matter. But we live in a society where, well, what do you think? And what do you think? It shouldn't matter. But as our society moves into that, it's getting darker. Because the thankfulness of what God has given us is being removed. So guess what happens? It's getting darker. Crime is going up. Everything that's wrong is on the rise. Everything, there's nothing, pick any aspect, financial, social, pick any aspect of the American society right now that nothing is expanding. Everything is imploding. Why? Because thankfulness is being removed. Instead of, you should be thankful for what you have. Remember the old statement? Now people say, well, I got to have this much money at the end of the month. You know what they used to say? Your budget is to be made out. You make this much money, make it work. And live within your means. Now it's, I deserve this. You understand? It's a totally opposite way of thinking, which does what? It expands darkness. This morning, to show you how important refreshing. I want you to leave Sunday school thinking about thankfulness. I need to be more thankful, and I need to work at it. I have to work at it. Here we go. To show you how much we all need to work at it, have you ever met somebody that's too thankful? The answer is no. Have you ever met somebody that's too selfish? We all met a bunch of people like that. When I'm at my house, Psalm 119, I will arise at midnight and give thanks. Walk through your house at midnight and thank the Lord. Everything I have is from God. Everything my salvation, I think if you can stay in awe at what God's given to you, one, it refreshes you. We're learning this morning, God says, if you lose your thankfulness, I think our society has not been forced on us. Our society in darkness is coming because that's what people are volunteering for by not being thankful. It's volunteer. But God is not forcing this on us. It's like, you don't want me? You don't want the Bible? Then live with no light. Right? Live in darkness. You can't be saved if you reject creation, that there's a creator. It takes a special fool, somebody that's been played with, and you can't be saved if you're not thankful. Amen? There has to be an attitude to that. Here we go. Take your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 17. Ready? Luke chapter 17. Here we go. Remember, I'm trying to show you how important thankfulness is this morning, and how if you make yourself thankful, it'll help your life, it helps your atmosphere, it helps your home. It's refreshing to be around someone that just praise God. Glory to God. Well, it looks like it might rain today at 1:00. Well, glory to God. Somebody's garden needs it, right? Instead of, oh, it's going to rain again. All it ever does here in Maryland is rain. Well, sort of. That's not totally true. You can either praise God for the rain or gripe about the rain. You ever heard that statement, when your tire needs changing? You can change your tire ticked off, or you can change it praising God. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to change the tire. I highly suggest you do it with a thankful attitude. Amen? Because it's what? There's a refreshment in life. Watch this. Just with you personally saying, God, thank you for life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving someone like me. Thank you for your precious blood that washes away. There's just something. God made us that way. Amen? And you'll find out, you know what? I do need to work up my thankfulness. Here we go. Watch Luke 17. Luke 17, look at verse 11. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and thanked God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, which is what? That's half Jew, half Assyrian. I don't care what you want to call it, Milano, half-breed, whatever, doesn't make any difference. Here's someone, the rest of them were Jews, but this one, Samaritan, the one that everybody hates, returns to Jesus to give thanks. And look at Jesus' response. It says here, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Here's Jesus saying, I know I healed 10 people. He's God. right? I know I healed 10 people. And when you're healed from leprosy, right, there's 10 men walking around that have been banished from the city. They'll never see their kids again. They'll never see their wife again. They wave from the wall. They're never allowed in the city because of the contagion. And Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priests. As they go, they're healed. And 9 of them keep walking instead of returning to give thanks. What's that show you our natural tendency is? Our natural tendency is to get from Jesus what he wants to give us, salvation, and then never say thank you. That's the tendency. We lead an average of about 60 people to the Lord here at our church a year. I've been here 10 years. If everybody we led to the Lord came to church and got baptized, can you imagine that? In 10 years, we'd be running 600. Don't think about that too much. You say, where would you put them? I don't know. I'm just saying, where is everybody that we lead to the Lord? Some had this conclusion, well, I don't think they really got saved. I don't think that. That's not what the Bible teaches. Our tendency is, to not be thankful. We'll get from him our salvation. Yeah, I'm glad his blood washes away my sin. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. But I got a life to live, and I got things to do, and Jesus is fine as long as he doesn't get in my way. And Jesus says, where is everybody? Where are the 9? I'm just telling you this morning, thankfulness, I know I'm hitting this from kind of a backside, but thankfulness is refreshing. And Jesus here, amazed at the one falling down on his face, thanking the Lord. But wow, 10 men that get their life and family back couldn't return to give thanks to God. Nobody's too thankful. Nobody's too thankful. Go to Colossians chapter 3. The world will continue to spiral. But I think in your home, in our church, if everybody is working at, he daily loads us with benefits every day. Doesn't give me a few benefits. He loads me with benefits. I always have something to praise God for. You know what? You know how this lesson helps me? If I ever get depressed, you get depressed? It's always because of selfishness. When life doesn't go my way, the way I think it ought to go, and things don't happen the way I think they ought to happen, I can either trust God and thank him that he knows best and he knows what's going on, or I can get depressed. Well, and every time I get depressed, these thoughts here that I'm giving you this morning, these convict me. Okay? Get off your tail and go praise God. Amen. And if you'll make yourself thank God, you can get out of the mully grubs anytime you want. If you'll make yourself praise and glorify God. And when I do, I always tell God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I was selfish. I was self-centered. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me that I'm not always in control. As a matter of fact, the less I'm in control and the more you control, the better life is. Amen. But I can, if I'm not careful, we can enjoy the self-pity, right? And then we wallow in it, and we start enjoying the, yeah, woe is me, and all of it. And God says, the way you pull yourself out of it, make yourself praise God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse, what I put up here on the board. Colossians 3:13. Ready? Here we go. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even so Christ, as Christ forgave you also, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness or maturity, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And here's the command again. And be ye thankful. This morning, the lesson is the refreshment of being thankful. And I hit more here's what's going to happen. Let the heathen rage. The world is, America's going to keep on going. If, you know, you say, what would you do if you were president? They'd probably kill me. Amen. So I'd probably be assassinated. I don't ever dream of that. I dream of making my home what a place God's pleased to be. And what's refreshing, I think your home should be refreshing. Your car should be refreshed. Don't allow things in your life that pull you down. If you need to, when it comes to the news, I see a little. Amen. I just don't live there because it ain't going to change. My Bible's much more important. Amen. And it gives me a foundation. And I praise God, I know where I'm going. Thankfulness should be refreshing, but it doesn't come naturally. It's something all of us have to work at, being thankful. Yang, we got to go. God bless you. Let's fold up those tables there. And